Welcome to the Cemetery Chronicles. Hosted by two friends who manage cemeteries in the Twin Cities, this podcast takes you behind the gates and into the unique world of cemeteries. Join us as we share heartfelt stories, unexpected humor, and the profound moments that come with a career dedicated to honoring life and legacy. From the Paradise Picture Studio, here are your hosts, Dominic Pierre and Bobby Schoenrock.
Bobby, I don't even have any idea what podcast number this is.
27?
I don't know, 20, 29, 30. I don't know what it is. We'll probably have to look back at the records. So anyways, I realized, just kind of listening to some of the beginnings of our old podcast, we never introduce ourselves anymore. So maybe should say it. My name is Dominic Pierre, and my co-host here is...
Bobby Schoenrock.
Yes. And welcome to the Cemetery Chronicles. That's another thing I noticed we don't say. So maybe we should say that in the
beginning. We just assume that all of our clientele knows who we are, right?
Thank you for listening. We have to say that. Yes, that's exactly it. Everybody knows Bobby Schoenrock. Maybe not so much the lesser cohort.
Maybe not for good things, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, after last episode, we had Brandon from Raymaker Sims Cemetery Software on. He posted, because you left already, and he's like, oh, we got to get a photo. So him and I sat here in the Paradise Pictures Studio, or our remote location for Paradise Pictures Studio, and took a photo, and they posted it on their Facebook page. So I think that might be the first official photo from the Cemetery Chronicles for people to know what the heck at least I look like.
I'm glad I wasn't around for that.
I know. I wonder how many people like crushed, like, oh, he's got... His voice doesn't match his body.
I was thinking we should probably do a booth at the fair, you know. I was trying to figure out how we could get into the state fair.
Oh, my gosh. So dovetailing on that, for people who don't live in Minnesota, the Minnesota State Fair is a very large ordeal. I went out there on Sunday.
Oh, you did?
It was insane.
Josie was out there Sunday.
Really?
Yeah. She said the same thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Most people she's ever seen.
You know, we figured, because we have a 19-month-old, we figured, you know what, we wake up early. She got up early, and they're like, you know what, let's do it. We'll go out early before all the crowds hit. It's in beautiful weather. We got out there at 9:30. We were the last person to get a parking spot in the fairgrounds, because we had parked in the fairgrounds so we could get, you know, have our diapers in our car. And we were the last people. And it was shoulder to shoulder at 9:30, and it never ended. You know, it's fun because there's so many people out there, but it was insane. I think they had something like 250,000 that day.
Yeah, they said that last Sunday was like either 10 or 12,000 more than like the record setting one the year before. And there was like 10 to 12,000 more people.
It was crazy, man. It was, but it's fun. It's fun to go. And even there's a place in the Minnesota State Fair called Machinery Hill. It's one side of it that has all the equipment. You can see all the big John Deere, Toro, things like that. And that's usually kind of a place you can get a little rest, you know, respite. There's not as many people up there. It was as crazy as everywhere else. It was nuts. The whole place was nuts.
Yeah, but I don't envy you. I'll be heading there at some point this weekend.
Nice. On the weekend. Yeah. With the weather way it's been in Minnesota, it is gorgeous. And yeah, everybody's going out there.
Well, that and usually it's like 90 or it's raining for the fair, so they've got some good weather for it. But with my kids being in school early, we haven't had time to go. Normally we just, you know, like I'll take a day off and we'll go, but they started school so early that, you know, we haven't had a chance. And And then figures that they're off on Friday when I'm really busy at work and can't squeeze out. But, we'll either be there Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, one of the days, because I told them we could go.
Well, there you go. I mean, we have an update on the flooring situation in my house. They feel that they can come out this weekend now and possibly redo our floors, which means now Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, we're out of the house again. Well, I'll be here at work on Friday, obviously, but we're going to go back up to a cabin, I think, this weekend. We don't have to do the podcast this weekend, so it's not going to be remote, but kicked out again. Let's hope they do it right this time.
Yeah,
we shall see.
So will they sand it down and then re-stain it? Is that the plan?
I have no idea right now. They're coming out with samples. I mean, this is all dependent. They're coming out with samples tomorrow.
You know, I get to check out your house, and you've got a beautiful home. And is it just all tore up right now?
Well, no, it's just that. So they have to redo all the floors in our living room and kitchen area, or all the hardwood floors that are, because you can't just do one portion because you have to match it all.
Yep.
So basically everything that's in there, all our, you know, toys, Caroline's toys, everything, we had to move into all these other, you know, downstairs, upstairs. So everything is a disaster except the living room and kitchen.
So that's the clean spot.
Yeah. There's just nothing in there, but everything else is a disaster because it's holding all the other stuff. And we're kind of just living in limbo, not knowing when they're going to come back and redo these things. So they're coming back with samples tomorrow for me to look at to approve. This is what should have happened the first time, I feel, but they're at least doing it this time for me to approve to make sure it looks the way we want it to look. And if it does, then they come in here and I guess they re-sand all the floors and re-varnish. I don't know.
So your pregnant wife is just in love with all this stuff going on right now, right?
Yes, she is. She's thrilled about it. Well, actually, it probably couldn't be a better weekend, a three-day weekend. It's beautiful weather. We can go up to the cabin, sit on the boat, you know, just hang out while they do their thing here. And, you know, to be honest, if they were to do it any later, we may have just had to say no go. So I think this is the one shot they have. Otherwise, it's going to be like 8 months before they can do it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We're crossing our fingers. We're hoping that it happens. I don't know. I just don't know what's going to happen. So anyways, we'll have an update next week for you. I know you all are hanging by the edge of your fingernails trying to figure out what's going to happen with our floors. So I'll give you updates. But anyways, we need to talk about, too. Today, we're recording this podcast the day of this church shooting in the state of Minnesota. My goodness, we've had two podcasts now where we've had to talk about shootings in our state, in the Twin Cities area. How incredible. It's just, I don't know about you, but I've been glued to, whenever I didn't have appointments or whatnot, listening to the news and what was happening over in Minneapolis with this church. And, oh, my gosh, how devastating.
Yeah, it's way too close to home.
Way too close.
I mean, this shouldn't happen, period, no matter what.
No.
Let alone kids be the targets of this tragedy. And, you know, it's really tough when you have kids your own kids going to school.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just, I'm really tired of it.
It is. it's old. And you hear the news, obviously, with, you know, there's school shootings or anything, violence, wherever around the country. But, you know, it's in our backyard. We know the street names. We know the church. We've been there before. You know, it's just, it's crazy.
Huge church and I mean, these kids are at their mass praying.
Yeah.
You know, and it's supposed to be a safe place.
Unbelievable. So, it definitely hit. And then you're talking, you know, to staff, and we're all trying to, you know, trying to wrestle with it. And like, how do you handle, we talked about this before, how do you handle when you have folks that come in the cemetery that are upset? And because you just don't, in society today, I feel like in society today, there's just this thought of, if you don't agree with me, or you don't, or we don't see eye to eye, I want you dead, and like literally dead.
Yeah.
And that's scary. That's a scary position to be in, but it can happen anywhere. I don't know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think today's society with the, you know, social media based stuff where everything's so argumentative then it just escalates and people just get in their mind that, you know, like you said, if someone has a different belief or a different theory than you, that they should die.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's crazy.
When has that ever been something that is acceptable?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that that helps me is I try to avoid the 24-hour news cycle from the Fox News's, CNN's, MSNBC's of the world. I think that helps me. Whenever it's on, it seems like my blood boils for one reason or another. And it's like, nope, I got to get away from that. You know what people should do? They should listen to more podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, people just need to chill out. And just because someone has a different opinion than you doesn't mean that there's something wrong with that person.
Yeah. We don't need to dwell on it. We just wanted to make sure we mention it. We don't want to get into political, but man, it kind of affects their day.
Send prayers to those families affected.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, all those, the you know, two young children dead, young ages. Those families, the kids who were in there that saw what was going on, prayers to those families. I mean, it's going to be a while before they get through all this stuff.
Not only that, our heart goes out to you, and we're a podcast that mentor talks about cemetery management. My heart goes out to those cemetery managers in the Twin Cities are going to have to work with those families. Who knows where they're going to go? We don't know. I have any idea there, but that is not easy. You have done it. I have done it. It's not easy.
No.
It affects your day. To be honest, if you had your first appointment of the day at 8:30 in the morning was that family coming in and you're selling that property, when I get done with that family, you might as well just wipe the rest of the day off because I'm useless.
Yeah.
I am emotionally not available for anything. I just can't get my mind off. It doesn't matter what happened to the child. If it's a child, it absolutely wrenches you.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. There's, you get in that just mode of the compassion. You know, I mean, it's kind of why we do what we do.
Yeah.
But there's days that you wish you didn't have to do what we did.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. So hats go off to that. Let's try to lighten the mood a little bit after that. Well, maybe I should even mention we've had, and also, so this is a Catholic church that this happened at today, and we also had a colleague from the Catholic cemeteries pass away last week, which is really tough. And the director of the Catholic cemetery, somebody we worked with closely, she was down at the Capitol with us for all the legislation, Carol Bishop. Our thoughts, prayers for her soul and the staff at the Catholic cemeteries. Our heart goes out to you. It can't be difficult. It has to be difficult having the leader pass away and to be honest, so quickly and so suddenly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like it was that long, and we were at, what was it, April, where we were at our breakfast meeting with Carol, and unfortunately she took a turn and went real fast, and that's tough. I mean, it's tough when you to lose a person, but really tough to lose a leader of your staff and the person in charge that has really done a nice job over with the Catholic cemeteries these last few years that she's taken over, and it's just too bad that she doesn't get the chance to, keep it going.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure we acknowledge her, a colleague of ours in the Twin Cities area. I know that these things happen around. You know, you have colleagues that pass, but this was a sudden one, and we just wanted to make sure we mentioned Carol's name. So, well, let's try to lighten the mood a bit.
Yes.
So, Bobby, rumor has it that you guys might be putting in a new building at Oakland Cemetery.
Yeah.
I want to hear that process.
Yeah. So we just brought it up with our board, and, they approved us to start getting quotes and start figuring some things out, sizes, exactly what we need. We have a couple outbuildings outside of our main building, and the goal is to try to get rid of all the outbuildings and just have one bigger building.
Okay.
And then, obviously, Oakland's a little different where we blow leaves to the road and pick them up in a vacuum and then shoot them into this big truck that we use for...
I mean, you have hundreds of oak trees.
Yeah. I mean,
so the leaves are crazy.
Yeah, we have probably more trees. I would put us up against just about any cemetery around. And so we have a truck that we drive for five, six weeks of the year, and then it sits.
Yeah.
Well, it sits outside because it's big.
Yeah.
And if it's not moving, why put it inside? Because we move out just about everything we have in our building every day, you know. So we want to get that inside and just do a few more things. So we're in the very, very, very early stages right now. You know, we kind of just got the approval to go ahead and start looking around for – how we want to set up the building. And I think the biggest thing that we have to do, and once again, it's like, you know, for your master planning, like I have to look 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what kind of equipment will we need? What will we need, you know,
for
as
space.
Far as space?
Yeah.
So if I think we need a, 20 by 30, then we're going 30 by 40. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to go bigger.
Yeah.
So we're going to make sure that we do it and we do it right.
Well, you say you're in the beginning stages now, but really, how long has this been a thought, started?
I mean,
it's been years, I assume.
Years. Like, we added a 14 by 30 shed.
Yeah.
And we keep
basically like a Band-Aid to try to get you going.
Yeah, and we have a big... like a tent shed that we keep like our salt sander and our plow, like things that are stationary.
Yeah.
And then we swap things out throughout, you know, spring, you know, those go in there and then they come out of there and other things go in there. And the heaters for the winter are outside. Then we put them in there so they don't rust, you know. So the goal is to keep our fence that we have behind the shop for trailers and a couple things that can stay outside, but actually get everything else inside. Yeah. And so it looks a little nicer around our shop.
Yeah.
You know, dress it up a little bit so that, you know, it's not just kind of, because it is kind of an eyesore to have all this stuff, you know, kind of all around. So,
yeah. I mean, so this process started, you know, you probably were looking at it probably several years ago when you're kind of thinking, hey, we need something for this piece of equipment, something for that piece of equipment. Wouldn't it be nice to have a larger shed?
Yeah. And the hardest part is, you know, we had our building redone in 2012.
Which kind of puts hold on anything else
and,
after that.
Yeah. And I kind of wish we would have, you know, turn the switch a little bit on and said, let's bump out 30 feet.
Yeah.
Because then we probably wouldn't have had to do a lot of what we're going to be doing now. But in the long run, you know, this is a better situation for us. And, I mean, once again, I don't know what 5 years from now looks like as far as funeral-wise.
Yeah.
Are we going to be staying around the same amount of burials? Are we going to be doing a lot less?
Yeah.
Are we going to get, you know, we're at, you know, 28-30% cremation. Are we going to jump up to 70% cremation and not have, you know, monument lot sales and things like that? So right now we have money, and we have some money that we need to spend from some funds that we can pull from. So why not try to get something done while we have some of it?
Yeah.
You know, rather than in 5 years from now when we really need something and then we don't have it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I've learned too, and you probably learn it, you know it as well, is you think you need a certain size, up it by 10%.
Yeah.
At least.
And we're pretty good with our roads right now. We spent a couple $100,000 last year on road repair. Machine equipment right now, we're looking really good. Our trucks are solid. Our backhoe's solid. Again, that doesn't mean in 4 weeks from now, the motor might blow on the backhoe and we need to get a new one. But
you're a master mechanic.
Yeah, right. But for right now, things are solid enough to where we don't have to spend a lot of money on equipment.
Yeah.
And road repair. Obviously, our tree removal, that's the same, you know, going to be, you know, we're at anywhere from $30,000 to $60,000 to $70,000 a year in tree removal.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just not going to change, well, unfortunately.
Yeah. So are you thinking about having a place for your ground staff to have like breaks, things like that, or you want them close to the office?
We don't know yet. Okay. I haven't decided how in depth we want to get with this building just yet. We want to look at, try to figure out the exact size and what we're thinking there. Because I think the plan might be to do like one big door and then one smaller door.
Okay.
You know, like right now we've got big garage doors, and realistically only one garage door needs to be big for the backhoe. The rest don't need to be that big.
Yep.
You know, and if we decide to do that, then we could do some storage up top there.
Yeah.
And so we're going back and forth. And I guess the biggest hurdle we have to look through is that we're historical preserve, so we've got to go through the state historical society for that, and then also, you know, pulling permits through the St. Paul city of St. Paul. So we got to go through some of those hurdles first, and once we get through some of that stuff, then we can start to look like, you know, is this something that we need to add, like a break room, which I don't think we really do, but it might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, to have where it is something on a side where you can have breaks, or maybe an office for the grounds, you know, like a computer and office back there.
Yeah.
But I just don't
basically know. You're thinking a place that you can kind of hide away and get work done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I just don't know if it's worth doing all that in there or getting rid of some of the equipment in the main shop and then, you know, adding some things into the main shop, which would be also an option too.
Yeah, because, you know, that main shop's connected to your office.
Correct.
So if you even wanted to expand your office a little bit, you could.
Yeah, and we did do that in 2012. You know,
okay.
We bumped out, you know, probably 12 feet, 14 feet, and added room for our safes and all our files. So now they're all hidden behind now. Yeah. And you can't even see them. And, you know, they're kind of in another room. And so we did do some of that already. But like I said, just any of that stuff. I mean, we have an old office that the foreman of the cemetery, that's our parts room right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that was an old office that they used to, you know, the guy who was the foreman on the grounds, that was his office. Like he had a desk in there and he had like, you know, all the special care stuff in there parts manuals. And well, all that stuff's now shifted into the break room and that's our parts room. So, you know, so there's plenty of things to do, but. I think the biggest hurdle will be just figuring out what we need to do for the historical stuff and the city of St. Paul, and then moving forward with the size.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're definitely going to go bigger, you know, bigger than we probably need.
Yeah.
But the real thing is looking at, like, equipment that, you know, we have those Ventrac machines that, you know, are good for – you know, blowing leaves, broom, blowing snow. Well, where do you put all that stuff when you're not blowing leaves? Yep. You're not blowing, you know, doing stuff. So we're looking at putting big racks in the back and forking makes things on and getting stuff off the ground up
in
the air. Can
that Ventrax fork or who do you have?
We've got forks for our backhoe.
Okay. Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the way to go because you can start utilizing the up and down space.
Yeah, and then, you know, put it all on a back wall.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the stuff that's used, you know, 4, 5, 6 months out of the year doesn't need to be down on the ground taking up ground space.
Oh, absolutely. And it looks organized.
Yeah.
It looks nice.
Yeah.
I tell my staff that constantly. Well-organized, clean garage. Now, does it maintain clean and organized? No. But a well-organized and clean garage just means that you're going to be more efficient and want to feel more productive. I always feel that way. If I have a clean office, I want to be more productive.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we sweep our shop on a regular basis, wash the floor constantly. We're, you know, I'm constantly going out, hey, let's clean this up a little bit here. We got stuff there. And
Is that the voice you use? Hey, hey you.
I won't say what the actual words I use, but
I think this might be a good time to interject. If you're an employee at Oakland and you'd like to work at Union Cemetery, come on over.
Yeah, there you go, Nick. I'll give you a little shout out, Nick. One of my employees was telling me he listens to the podcast, and then I didn't quite believe him, and then he started like repeating some of the things we talked about, so. Maybe he does listen. So.
Hey, Nick, I'd love to have you over here. I'd love to meet you. Come on over. I'll buy you a coffee.
I told him we should get him on the podcast, but then I thought he might tell you how I'm actually him at, you know, telling him what to do. So
we don't want to know the Bobby behind the scenes, the real Bobby.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So you're thinking, though, but doing just kind of a garage, stick building.
Similar, we're actually going to get in contact. So we have a Butler building right now for our shed, which is a great metal, beautiful building. And the roof is actually like the top of a pop can.
Okay.
You know, like it goes on just like that. Like it, you put them on and then this little machine just dries right down and then folds everything over and kind of seals it up. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like the top of a pop can.
Wow.
And it's pretty cool deal, and they were able to put that up real fast, and I think we're going to try to get in contact with the company that did our building when we redid all the siding.
Could you insulate it if you wanted to?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They do all that, yeah.
Wow.
We have 12 inches of insulation in our building now.
Do you even worry about it getting cold in there or anything? Do you have heat, too?
So we have heat in ours, but we only turn it on when we were in there.
Okay.
And we only turn it to 60.
Do you have water in there?
Yeah.
So you're not even if the heat's not on, you're not worried about it freezing in the middle of winter?
No, no.
That's impressive.
No, I don't think it drops. You'd be lucky if it dropped below 30 degrees.
Okay.
I mean, and that would be real cold. And doors are open, you know. But for the most part, I mean, that shop, like those heaters bump up on and off probably in an 8-hour day 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
That's it, you know. Yeah. Otherwise, it stays really warm. And, I mean, the old building, we used to have to push the snow off the roof. So tells you how much insulation was in that roof. Yeah. We used to have to go up there and sweep it off. Otherwise, the water would be pouring off the building.
Well, hey, another shout out to you, Nick. If you want to come over here, we have air conditioning in our garage out here.
Well, we got air in our break room.
Oh, but not the garage, huh?
Not the garage.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys aren't even in the garage half the time. They just break stuff and then go sit in the air conditioning in the break room.
Probably also enticing to them is apparently my guys leave at 4:15, 4:10 or stop working.
That's right.
But okay. Sounds like a fun project. I'm really intrigued about hearing the progress of this and how it all
we'll
goes.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted on how it goes. Obviously, it's going to be a long process. Probably won't even have any groundbreaking till probably next summer, is my guess.
How was the process with the board?
They were really open to it. Nice. You know, I mean, we have a great board that kind of lets. You know, my dad is, in my opinion, I guess this is my opinion, but I feel like my dad has done a nice job of kind of maintaining the cemetery, he's been running for a long time, probably 40 years. Been working there 50 some years, right? So he's done such a nice job at maintaining everything that they don't really question when he says, but he also isn't there on a regular basis saying, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And they see, well, you know, he hasn't bought a truck in a while, or we haven't, you know, we're only on 3 backhoes in the whole life of the backhoe at Oakland Cemetery. So, I mean, they just kind of see that he's pushing things to last as long as we can keep them. And so when he says, you know, when he says, hey, you know, Bobby and I are talking, and we're getting to a point where we feel like maybe it's time we start looking into doing another building. You know, and then when we say getting rid of the sheds and the tent, well, then they really perk up, because then they hear like cleaning up the outside, right?
Making it look better.
You know, I've really spent my time the last few years trying to really clean up our front of our office and like the main entrance of the cemetery. Like, that's been kind of our real basis that we've had some extra money to, you know, put towards things. And so when they hear that, they, you know, they really like to hear that. So, I mean, you know, as well as I do, that you're always going to have brush piles. You're always going to have, you know, dirt and stuff around. And it's just kind of a part of the game of running a cemetery. But you try to keep it as clean as you can, you know.
No, I'm interested too about how the bidding process goes for you. Speaking of that, so we've been obviously doing our master planning, and we have this cremation area that we're looking at, and I've been getting bids on doing paver pathway. It's not the largest pathway. It's about a 300-foot pathway, but it kind of curves and meanders, 300 foot long and 6 feet wide. So we're looking at about 1,800 square feet of paver pathway. And the bids caught me off guard.
They're high, aren't they?
Well, it's so first one I got was $80,000. And it absolutely floored me. I was not thinking that at all. I had a couple more folks look at it, got my second bid, $80,000. Exactly the same. I was like, whoa. Well, you know, it's something that we want to have done and look nice. It's just that it's going to have to get incorporated into the cost of the area, so when folks buy things out there. But it's incredible. That really floored me.
Yeah, so we've got a couple sidewalks that are pavers, and the bids we got were pretty cheap because we did it ourselves.
Maybe I should hire your crew to come
over. Maybe. I don't know. Ours are, a couple of them are sinking a little bit. We got to fix them up. One of them's going on, it's been about 14 years now since we did the one at the chapel. We redid all that. But that was one of those where my dad just comes in and says, hey, look at this photo I took at Patio Town of the pavers. This is what I think we should do up here. And we just dug it out and did it. You know,
I thought the same thing. I if it was a square path and rectangular, I think we would definitely pound it out, except it's so many curves and it should be so many small cuts. Like, yeah, we probably could do it. It's just going to be so time consuming.
Well, you know the deal. Haven't you seen all the YouTube videos? You lay them straight and then you take and cut them afterwards.
Is that how it's done in your paver patios?
Yeah. You could always look at, I mean, they have some really nice stamped concrete now.
I know. I was thinking that too, and that might be the way we have to look at it. Just, I mean, but
even,
what
even wood plank stamps are sharp.
What concerned me about the stamped concrete, but and why I was getting the quotes for the pavers, is because if you get cracks and whatnot in the stamped concrete, eventually you're going to have to replace everything. With pavers, you can just kind of take a section out and redo it.
Yeah.
So that was my initial thought, but now I might have to rethink that.
Well, I, you know, it's pavers are done differently now, right? Yeah. Like they bury those metal, they level those two metal rods in the ground.
Yeah.
And then they run, you know, get them nice and level. And that's how they, you level your sand. And then you go right on top of stuff. You know, that's like kind of the new way now, right? Yeah. And then they fill in next to it with the stuff that holds all the pavers together. Well, so what we're seeing now up at the chapel, which is curved, is where we curved to go in, some of that plastic starting to pull away a little bit. So now all of a sudden the paver's leaning out a little bit. You know, and that doesn't get a lot of foot traffic. And that's the only hard part. I mean, it gets.
Are you driving on it with anything?
Well, it gets blown off in the wintertime, just in case we ever have to get in the chapel and stuff, or shoveled off. But other than that, like, we're not. You know, we're not driving on it. We're not going, you know. So that's what always worries me, because especially like the one we have in front of our office.
Yeah.
So we had two big cement pads poured, and then we went pavers in the middle. And then, like, kind of around the exterior of it, and then up to the main door. And they held for a while, but now, like, every year I seem to fix, you know, 10, 12, 8, 10 of them. And then you fix those, then the next year four more ahead of it start sinking down.
Right on the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have cement board, you know, two cement pads kind of holding all of them in place. So, but, you know, if it's done right, which – for $80,000, it should be done pretty well.
Well, and even with that, the bid, I didn't even mention this, is us going in there and excavating. We're taking out the material. And they're coming in and dumping, you know, the sand. They're doing all the sand and leveling and putting in the material, but we're taking out the material. And
Which isn't terrible, right? Yeah, like, no. I mean, you know, you guys could get it done pretty quickly.
And I'm asking, too, that they go 12 inches deep. I don't want the 6 inches. I want 12 inches deep of compact sand and whatnot, because I don't want it to move. But, you know, it opened my eyes. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just goes back to, you know, like me getting this bid, right? Like you start looking at stuff and you think, ah, this shouldn't be too bad because I was online and saw that prices online are $100,000. And then you start getting bids and it's $300,000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're just getting started.
Yeah.
And then you're going, what the heck did I see online then? Well, you know, well, that's
for ChatGPT. I did the same thing. I go to ChatGPT. Hey, I got an 1,800 square foot paper pathway. What do you think it should cost? And it tells you. But they're calculating it's supposed to be square and whatnot and average rates. I was like, yeah, it should be $20,000. Like, okay, that's what I thought. Like, $80,000, what the heck? Oh, boy. Oh, well. So what can you do?
Yeah. So is it like a certain type of pattern that you're looking at for the pavers?
We're just kind of a generic, you know.
Like big, small, big, medium, small, big, medium, small, but like mixed up throughout.
Just mix it up and create a general pattern.
Compass
overall.
In the middle.
No, nothing even there, because we're going to be putting kind of a little stream in there, and we're taking care of that, these little aspects. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. We're moving forward. Hopefully we'll get this pathway done this fall, but I might have to get the quote for stamped concrete and just see what the difference is.
Yeah.
And see where to go. But we shall see. But there's one area we have paver pathways. Well, many of the columbariums in the cemetery have paver pathways around it, and one is our ossuary, and all the paver pathways around that ossuary are clay bricks, and we have a laser engraver, and we can laser etch, and it permanently adheres to the brick. So anybody who's in our ossuary gets memorialized on the paper pathway that goes up to it. And here's my segue. All these paver pathways are in our Sim Cemetery database, and it connects to all the burials. So how we document who's in our ossuary. We give them a paver, and the paver is GIS system.
So it has a number?
Yep, exactly. I can click on it, see who it is, and get all the burial information, and makes life so much so easy. And I can even look at the map on our system when people are asking, like, hey, what paver can I use for our ossuary? You can see, well, it's going to be the fifth row up, third in, and here you go. You click on it and have a photo of it. And so that's a way we can memorialize our ossuary, sure. Which is unique because that's unique because it's not like the regular cemetery. We have flat markers or monuments. It's totally unique because you have hundreds of pavers and how to put that into a system. Sims can do it. We did it with Sims.
We know Brandon was here.
Yeah, Brandon. Yes, exactly. It's amazing what you can do with this program. So if you have any obstacles in your cemetery that you think like, I don't know if that's going to work on a cemetery database, trust me, there's workarounds or ways to make it work. Yeah. So
just talking with Brandon, like he's really excited to where the future is going with this. So
yeah.
I mean, just so everybody's aware, like he's all the things that we thought were really hard and that we weren't sure if they could do, they're doing.
Yeah.
And then they're doing even above and beyond.
Yeah.
You know, again, I've talked about this a few times. I feel like Dominic and Union is like light years ahead of a lot of our cemeteries when it comes to this stuff. But realistically, a lot of it is because of this program.
No. It's because of me.
No. Stop lying.
It is a lot. It is due to Sims. You're right. So if you're ready to learn more, go to simscemeterysoftware.com.
All right. And when it comes to honoring a life well lived, every detail matters. That's why Paradise Pictures has been crafting premium high-fired porcelain steel portraits since 1991. Built to last a lifetime and guaranteed against any damage. Whether it's monuments, markers, crypts, or glass front niches, Paradise Pictures offers a full suite of personalized memorialization solutions, including elegant bronze flames.
That's true, they are.
Again, proud member of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries. They believe samples sell. So your first job is free just for listening to this amazing podcast.
You know, if you're coming up to the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries conference in a couple weeks, Paradise Pictures is sponsoring the welcome reception. That's free booze. I mean, cocktails are on the house, some nice appetizers, all sponsored by Paradise Pictures.
Well, there you go. And if you're looking to work with them, visit them at paradisepictures.com or call them at 1-800-960-8040. Real quick, before we move on from that, once again, family, we had a gal, had some issues with, we don't like the shoulder on my mom's photo. You know, it's different. They retooled it 6 times for us.
Wow.
And I think she's finally agreed that she likes this one.
Well, that's awesome.
And honestly, they don't look much different to me.
Oh, yeah.
Like if I stood them back. But they were generous enough to keep working it to this point.
Yeah.
So again, I can't say enough good things about Paradise Pictures.
Well, not only that, when Scott was on here and he was talking about that high fired and how like, hey, it's like this basically, you know, 1500 degrees. So the sun's not going to do anything to these photos. I'm curious what these other companies are using, because it seems like a 60 degree day that has partial sunshine fades those things out. I mean, there's no high fired whatsoever in those.
Yeah. You know, and then, I mean, even for him to, you know, talk about, like, if you're replacing other ones, they give you discounted.
Yeah.
If you're replacing a different company's picture with their pictures, they'll give you some money off. I mean, I don't know too many companies that do that.
No, it's a great company. Great company to do business with. But, yeah, highly recommend it.
So we'll move on from Paradise. But again, if you're looking for something, they're great people to work with.
Yeah. So tell me, what else is new at Oakland, Bobby?
Well, you know, I mean, it's the time of year we're losing our summer help.
I don't have any seasonal help left. They've all gone back to college.
Yeah, I've got one left. Today was his last day.
So Nick at Oakland, if you're thinking about it.
Yeah, and our guy Nick is still hanging around. He's got a few more days, he's going to do some Fridays too.
I could use you over at Union if you want to come over.
we got really strangely busy all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it's kind of holding steady. We haven't been – this week will be a little slower, but from, like, this point on, it is, like, guns a-blazing. I mean, and that's just for the next like 2.5 weeks. I mean, we have funeral after funeral after funeral, and that's if you don't get any phone calls, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, all these are you know, scheduled ahead of time. So that's not counting that the ones you get 48 hours in advance.
Yeah.
You know, 72 hours in advance, whatever it is. 24 hours in advance for some we've had. but yeah, I don't, things have been crazy. The grass is finally, I feel like, slowing down.
Not much, but it's somewhat. Yeah.
I think that Sunday, that weather Sunday, that cool weather slowed it a little bit, because one thing I've noticed, and I don't notice it as much here, but one thing I've noticed with us is, you know, and we're a little more, we got the crabgrass coming, we've talked about that, but it seems like it has yellowed a little bit, you know, like
the crabgrass or grass itself?
Just the crabgrass and the grass, like a mixture, right?
Yeah.
But a little bit of that yellow, because it's been a fairly dry week and a little bit of a windy kind of cooler week for us here, but it's been dry.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go from heavy rains to dry, things kind of dry up quicker, you know, and it seems like, you know, we've had a couple trees taken down and he's been able to get in and out without doing any damage. And then, obviously we laid some boards down, but I've noticed that some of the areas that we cut, like at the end of last week, are a little, you know, not quite as green anymore, it doesn't seem like. And so those were the ones that I've said, I think, slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is still nuts. I mean, you and I, we could go on about this for days, but I have never seen the grass so just plush, full green, and ready to rock.
I mean, it's 4 or 5 inches we're cutting off each week.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I've never seen that.
I mean,
that.
I'm not going to lie. I did see a few clumps when I pulled in around there is, the
That's
the
what I've seen this last week. Yeah. Well, you came by the office. I cut that, and I think I accidentally went a little too low on the
morning. Oh, so now the truth comes out.
I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm not afraid
The truth comes out. Dominic was the one who made the cut there where the clumps are.
It's true. If you see clumps, it's probably me. It is probably me. But yes, I was out there. I was actually on a mower, hopped on one and cleaned up a little bit. And
did a board member come into the cemetery and you wanted to impress or?
No, I just what was it? I needed to cut a couple things, and I went around and trimmed some areas that were around here. I was like, you know what? It's slower today. I'm gonna get out here. Finally, it's cooler out. I mean, to be honest, what it is.
No wonder why you're coming out of the office. It's not 95 and humid anymore.
It's nice out. So, I want to get some fresh air. So I hopped on the mower, you know, kick some kid off the mower.
You don't have any more kids on the mower.
That's true.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, but like, I mean, and I'm not saying that Union Cemetery in late August, early September looks bad, but I don't know if I've ever seen it look this green.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the same for Oakland, you know, and you have some water stuff where you can water where we don't,
We really haven't utilized that all
year. And we don't. And for it to be this green this late in the year, again, you know, I talked a little bit. We had our board meeting last week, and I mean, all of our board members very impressed with how green the grass is. At the cemetery, and because when they normally come to the board meeting in August it's brown. Fairly brown and dry and so you know, but again, I mean, it's a grind, right? I mean, when you're mowing hard all week long and you can't slow down, plus you have funerals, it's a grind. And now with losing our help, you know, it just puts a little more pressure on everybody else.
Yeah, so hopefully it slows down. You're exactly right, because with staffing now back down to minimal, you know, we can do it, but you're exactly right. You just can't get anything else done besides besides the things you need, like grass and trimming.
Yeah, I mean, if we're being realistic, I mean, usually like 2-3 weeks from now, it's kind of shut the mowers down a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. You
know,
you don't even want to be on the sections.
Yeah, because the leaves are falling, so you want some of the leaves to fall, or they've fallen so much at Oakland that we can't even mow the section anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're kind of not far along from that, and we're still growing, you know, going hard.
Well, with you guys, with the grass growing as fast as it is, you losing seasonal help, you guys having getting just the influx of funerals, you going to be able to go up to the conference this year up in up in St. Cloud?
Well, you know, I'll probably skip it. I don't know. No, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll make it work. You know, I'll work probably, you know, the next four weekends after that to make up for it. But yeah, no, I'll be there. Yeah, I just shared with you, you know, coming that day. I think we have five funerals that day, you know, yeah, like Monday the day that that I would go up in the afternoon. And yeah, so it's I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, you're probably the same way. I already have October 24th, which is 2 months away, two funerals booked that day, both size. It's like, wow, this is incredible. How much further? I got it. But to be honest, what that means is I have to start looking at, maybe it's the 27th. It's the Monday, actually, in October. But I have to start looking at probably our pricing for 2026 because, you know, when funerals are getting scheduled out in 2026, I got to give them the new interment pricing.
Yeah, yeah. Every year I always think about that, and then we get busy, and then the holidays start coming, and I'm going, we got to get we're making sales for January funerals. We got to get our new prices out.
I know, I know. So how does that work for you? That's a good question. Do you get those approved by board, or do you guys set your pricing?
We usually just set our pricing, and then we go by kind of where everything is at.
Yeah.
You know, when we feel that, you know, the cost of living is low, you know, people are hurting, we try to keep our prices the same barely go up. Yeah. And then when we feel like, hey, you know, cost of living went up quite a bit, you know, all of our equipment prices have gone up, like we're going to have to raise our prices.
Do you ever peek around at other people's websites?
No, I would never do anything like that.
Which means you do.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, you know, I look at it more as the need for our cemetery. You know what I mean? So I try to, when we try to do prices, we try to look at what's the need for Oakland Cemetery, right? Oakland Cemetery, you know, we're moving on. We haven't raised our interment prices in 2 years or 3 years. You know, we're going to be needing backhoe. We're going to be needing this. Yeah. We're going to have to go up on our interment price because that backhoe is what, you know, is doing the work. And so we try to figure some of that into it too, but you can't always figure that into, right? Because then every year you could be like, well, I need this, I need this, so we better jack the price up, right?
Yeah.
You know, like for there was a lot of years where we hadn't raised our wall crypts.
Yeah.
But now that we're at a point where we don't have a ton of them left, and people are buying them a little bit, you know, we need to raise the price a little bit. The work is a little more now. Same with our lawn crypts. Like, price of bronze has gone up so much. And so now we have to raise that because we include the marker in with
you
it.
You have to.
And same with our niches, right? Our niches were great. We kept them at a price for a couple years. We were at a really low price for our niches. But now all of a sudden it's like, well, we're getting full on the outer parts.
Yep.
Now we're working the inner parts. We're going to have to look at a new building here.
Yeah, yeah.
So what we have left, we got to raise our prices here because now we have to start thinking about the money that we need for another building.
Yeah.
And so you have to look at all that stuff.
No, you have to. And when I try to look at my pricing, and I present it in our October board meeting to our board members, I always look and see. I try to keep my expenses, you know, the overall expenses for the year when I budget to go up roughly to be at least the rate of inflation, or, you know, that's the maximum I go. But, you know, you go through every expense and you can be fair expenses. I mean, you know what your phone bill is going to be throughout the year. Well, you know, approximately
for the
your
most
internet,
part. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things, your insurance, you can really gauge that one bill is going to come.
Insurance, well, this, I don't know.
You're right. But, you know, I can usually calculate medical benefits, things like that. I can get fairly close because I know what that's going to be for the year, so I can budget those things out. Obviously, you kind of have historical averages for when it comes to like shop maintenance, you know, equipment maintenance, and if equipment's getting a little bit older, you know, you maybe put a little
tree,
more
tree removal, any of that stuff.
So you can be fairly close with expenses, and to be honest, and then my income side, there is certain patterns, but there's, man, it seems like there's some years where, you know, hey, I predict this much niche sales, and we exceeded it. Like this year, we're just going way over. But then there's certain things like maybe interments are down. You know, it's you can't necessarily gauge it. But at least budgeting wise, I look at it and go, okay, you know, if I had to increase, you know, my expenses by 3%, I need to make that up in my income somehow. So I need to figure out how to raise the revenue or raise our pricing, you know, on graves and things like that by 3% to make up for the increase in my expenses. And now you look at it, then you go, okay, what's popular? Are my niches really popular, or is there certain areas like maybe I need to raise the niche prices more than I do in-ground burials, things like that. So, so it's always a fun little process trying to figure out pricing. And obviously, we don't talk about our prices. We can't really do that. We don't want to do that. But just the system on how to figure out pricing. But I, speaking to many, many cemeteries around this great state of Minnesota, because as the Secretary Treasurer of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries, these small cemeteries are struggling. And they always ask me, how is there anything, grants, one thing, but how do I raise more revenue for the cemetery? And I always tell them, you got to raise your prices.
Yeah.
You can't just charge a couple hundred dollars for a grave and interment. Yeah. I know people feel it's like, but that's my community. I need to, we need, it's a service we're giving. I understand it's a service you're giving, but you have to look at the perpetuity of the cemetery. You have to fill your coffers. You have to maintain the cemetery. So you need to charge more.
Yeah.
It's not valuing the service. You're not valuing your service properly.
I mean, it's never an easy thing to, you know, tell people, hey, you know, you were here a year ago for your mom's funeral and we went up $250, you know, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
You know, but like anything, right? Like, you know, we include our vaults for cremations. You know, we require a vault, so we include it in our price. Those prices doubled a couple years back.
Yeah.
So how do I all of a sudden, like, I'm paying, like, losing money, you know? So it's like, well, but we can't just jump it, right? So we try to keep things, you know, for a couple years, and try to make it so that things are kind of similar for a couple years, but then there's a couple years where you have to jump up on prices, and it's
it's true. You know, you have to, and the thing is, you might get some pushback, but you have to have those explanations on why you did it, and you're obviously you're not just making these pricings willy nilly. There's reasonings why you're doing what you're doing. So when folks come and complain, at least you can give them the honest truth.
And let's be honest here, we're all nonprofit. Like, it's not like if you raise your prices $5,000, you're doing it because you're trying to
line your
pocket. Yeah, you're not getting your private jet ready, right? Yeah. I mean, it's to beautify the cemetery.
Well, you're looking at the long-term maintenance of the cemetery. That's why you're doing it.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, you know. And again, I think that's why, you know, a lot of us, you know, when it comes to raising prices, are always like, oh, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to raise prices. Yeah. But you do it because you're like, I can't hold off anymore. I'm looking at a 3-year window here where, you know, we need to maintain this cemetery and we need roads and we need this. Yeah. And how do we get income in here?
Yeah.
You know, it's simple as that. And
I had a guy a couple of years ago sit down and he tried to. He's like, hey, I want to do the quick math. I want you to see this. He goes, so if this is what you charge today per grave in your interment, and it's the price equivalent for that for the last 125 years since you opened in 1889, and how many burials you have, this is how much revenue you should have. Yeah, but you're not calculating the fact that none of this land was donated. The land costs something. My equipment costs something. My employees and employee benefits cost things, roads and things like that. Like, you're not counting all those factors.
And the 20% that you're putting away.
Yeah.
You know, for when there's no more burials and no more room, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's so much more that goes into it. And that's why, you know, sometimes you, and again, you know, I mean, you know this from growing up in the business, right? When people are like, oh, that's got to be a pretty easy job, right? You don't have much stress. You just show up, you dig a grave.
You hear that all the time.
You fill it in, and then that's it, right? That's all you do.
Yeah.
Well, come and see all the paperwork that has to be done, that has to be turned into the state of Minnesota, that has to be done, the percentages of lot sales that have to get turned in, and you know, this and that. Like, I don't, I really don't think people really truly realize what goes into maintaining a cemetery, whether it be a 5-acre cemetery or a 150-acre cemetery.
Well, that's it.
I mean, I just, there's a lot of cost that goes into it.
I mean, my week right now as a superintendent is 40 hours a week of, to be honest, I mean, I do see some customers for sales and things like that, but I have folks, I have people in the office that do that, and I have a grounds crew, is really just being the backbone of the cemetery. Payroll, all the reporting, getting everything, our reports ready for our board, doing all the figuring out for master planning. It literally is the, you know, just trying to plan for the cemetery. That's a full-time job in and of itself. It's not, and it has nothing to do with the actual day-to-day of the cemetery. It's just all the administrative work, and it's pretty incredible.
Well, I mean, it's the old saying, right? If we were making millions of dollars, everybody would be working at cemeteries.
I think everybody thinks we're making millions of dollars. But, yeah.
I mean, I can show my bank account. It's not the case.
What do you mean? You're not making millions? What are you doing wrong, Bobby?
I don't know. That, I might have to come over to Union and figure that out.
Nick.
Yeah.
Joking. But anyways, we're kind of about at that time, Bobby. Any final thoughts?
Again, we're recording this, you know, middle of the week with this tragedy in Minnesota here. So again, we just want to send prayers there and to the families, and prayers to, you know, Carol's family,
absolutely.
You know, our colleague, Carol Bishop from the Catholic Cemeteries, who passed on, recently. So, you know, we just want to say thanks to all the people listening and you know, all this stuff doesn't get lost on us that is happening in our state. And we know it's tough. Just keep chugging through and you know, be there for these families when they come in, because, you know, someone in the Minnesota is going to have to deal with the families that this tragedy happens to. So,
yeah, it's, you know, it's heart wrenching.
Yeah. And we're here for you, and we know we get it. And just be there for them as best you can.
Absolutely. And just heart goes out to that whole situation. Next week, I think we're going to be possibly interviewing John Polo. We were thinking that we were going to have that a couple months ago, but he got sick. But it's all on track possibly for next week. Then we're looking at the convention coming up. We'll have our live broadcast there. Like I was just showing you our cool setup here, our microphone setup for the convention. We're going to be high tech this year.
I'm just in time for me to retire from this Mac. They're getting high tech, so
well, we might have a position for you, Bobby. And you know, we got 8 mics. Maybe we'll have a podcast of 8 different people. How does that sound?
Yeah, there you go. We're gonna have this podcast will be probably epic. So.
I have a feeling it will be. So the week of September. What is it?
September
17th, 18th,
16th, 17th. 8th, so 19th, September 19th podcast.
That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it doesn't even get out on time because I was treated by vendors a little too generously at the bars the night
you
before.
You mean by me, because I'll be pouring of the drinks next to you.
Anyways, I'm excited about that. So, all right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. You all have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast so you are notified when new shows are posted. If you would like to get a hold of us, please email us at info@thecemeterychronicles.com.
When it comes to honoring a life well lived, every detail matters. That's why Paradise Pictures has been crafting premium, high-fired porcelain on steel portraits since 1991. Built to last a lifetime, guaranteed against any damage. Whether it's monuments, markers, crypts, or glass front niches, Paradise Pictures offers a full suite of personalized memorialization solutions, including elegant bronze frames. As a proud member of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries, they believe samples sell products, so they're offering you a free first job just for listening. visit ParadisePictures.com or call 1-800-960-8040 to request yours today. Paradise Pictures, preserving memories beautifully.
Managing a cemetery comes with a lot of responsibilities, but with Sims, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. Sims Cemetery software helps you keep track of burial records, maps, and maintenance tasks all in one secure, easy-to-use system. With intuitive mapping, secure record keeping, and cloud-based access, Sims makes organization simple. Ready to see how Sims can make you streamline your cemetery operations? Visit SimsCemeterySoftware.com to learn more. Also, if you mention that you heard about us on the Cemetery Chronicles podcast, Sims will give you a 10% discount on a new software license.
For over 125 years, Cold Spring has collaborated with death care professionals to deliver innovative permanent memorial solutions that honor family legacies. Their domestic quarries and fabrication facilities ensure a predictable supply chain while providing quality craftsmanship and personal service. They provide custom memorials, columbariums, mausoleums, cemetery enhancements, helping cemeteries and monument retailers make their mark by creating timeless tributes that stand the test of time. With innovative design tools like personal reflections and dedicated support, they make it easy to bring families' visions to life while streamlining your business. Experience unmatched expertise, innovation, and dedication in memorial design with Cold Spring.